Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you here today, and I'll hand over to George for the intimations.
Yes, and welcome to our service of worship this morning, and good morning to everybody here and back at home, if I've already seen you or said that to you. Yep, catch kids at church. The next catch is on Sunday, the 1st of June. We have the joint service at Couris. We will take part in the joint service with the West Fife Village congregations on the 8th of June at 11 o'clock at Couris Abbey. This may be one of the last services to take place in this historic building. There will be no service in Kearney Hill nor any Zoom presentation that day. The walking group. The next outing is on the 22nd of June to Limekilns, oblique Bruce Haven, with the usual coffee stop. Meet in the church car park at 2 o'clock. Contact Maureen Black on 0301 383 881 872 for information. The joint service at Couris, that's a repeat of that. Oh, you did that? Yeah, that's okay. We'll not bother with the joint service again. But communion will be held on Sunday, the 15th of June. Kearney Hill Gala. Gala week begins on the 8th of June with a barbecue afternoon in the Manse Garden between 2 and 5. There will be a seniors' afternoon tea in the church on the Thursday, the 12th of June from 1:30 to 3:30. Now, the list for that was not in the post office. It is now being issued to the post office, so folk who want to sign up for the tea can do so at the post office. Oh, the spa, sorry, the post office isn't there anymore. I forgot about that. Oh, there, you've all got to keep me right, by the way. Anyway, carry on. Gala Day itself is Saturday, the 14th of June. The church will have a stall selling crafts, and we will have our own chocolate dip. Please add your name to the list in the vestibule if you can help. We are also looking for donations of chocolate still, and these can be brought to the church next Sunday. A full gala programme is available now, not shortly, and it's outside on the table in the vestibule, so please help yourself. There's plenty of there that shows you what's happening on Gala Week. Now, I've got more intimations to... I've just got to check that I've done my bit here, because I wrote them down. And yes, Elaine informs us there's tea and coffee after the service this morning. And you've got the gala list, yeah, I mentioned that. Oh yes, exciting news. Janice has been asking God for several months now where to live. And God answered, I think about 3 weeks ago you said. Kearney Hill is the answer. So a big welcome to Janice, now and forevermore. Well done, Janice. And I think finally there's a concert in Limekilns. Sorry, not finally, there's two. There's a concert in Limekilns this evening at 7 o'clock. It's entitled Free Gift Band, and it's in the Limekilns Parish Church. So you can hear this band and lead in an evening of hope, restoration and worship. They will share testimony of the transformative power of Jesus in their lives. All are welcome to this free event. And finally, on Thursday the 29th of May at 7:30, the Kingdom Singers Summer Concerts in Limekilns Church. On Friday the 30th of May in St. Columbia's Church, a varied programme led by the musical director, Willie Campbell, with refreshments available during the interval. Tickets are available at the door. Okay, and that completes all the intimations. Thank you. I'll go.
Let's worship God now. Let's sing to God's praise and glory, hymn number 196. Now, I've got to say a wee bit. This one is a wee bit confusing for us because in the hymn book there's one verse, but when we've had Barry and Marcia here, who help lead worship down the road, they have two verses. So I think it's the two-verse version that we're singing this morning, so you'll only get one verse in the hymn book if you're using the hymn book, but on the screens it'll be the two-verse version. And Claire has got her fingers crossed. That's the confusion between digiboxes and musicians. Digiboxes just do what they're programmed to do, and musicians do what they like to do. So let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive from our hands these gifts to be used in the work of your church. Bless these gifts as they are used, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And George is leading us in prayer this morning.
I've entitled this prayer, Prayers of Thanks and Confession. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning, as we have just sung in our opening hymn, to worship you and to thank you for all you have provided us. We thank you for the life you have blessed us with, our families and our friends. All that we see, feel, touch and experience. We thank you for the world we live in with all its marvellous natural wonders, which we have been highlighted in their natural beauty by the recent few weeks of settled sunny weather. We thank you for your amazing power of work in our lives and for your goodness and blessings over us. You are a caring God, and we thank you for listening to us in our times of trouble and giving us hope through even the toughest of times. Thank you that you're always with us and will never leave. Most of all, thank you for giving us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who through his teachings has told us of your unconditional love and your ever-present source of comfort, grace, mercy, and forgiveness, of which we are deeply grateful. Forgiving God, we acknowledge and confess that we have sinned against you, be it in thought, word, deed, by not living our lives and loving and caring for others as taught to us by Jesus. Forgive us when we moan and complain, when all we do is express concern, when we cross the street rather than speaking to someone who may need our help, when we have not phoned that person to inquire how their health is now, when we have not loved others, not seen others as you would, and forgive us for not seeing how we are blessed. Heavenly Father, we now in a few moments of silence wish to confess our personal sins to you and ask for your loving forgiveness. Thank you for listening to our confessions and for your forgiveness. And now we will join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 182, Now Thank We All Our God.
Thank you.
On the Church of Scotland website, one of the headings is Worship. If you click on that link, it takes you to a page with lots of help for ministers and other worship leaders. Under a subheading, Weekly Worship, there is service material for each Sunday of the year, usually working 1 month ahead. The website says, Weekly Worship, based on the Revised Common Lectionary, is for everyone, in any capacity, who is involved in creating and leading worship, and provides material that can be used for worship in all settings. We don't always follow the lectionary readings or the themes suggested on the website. However, that said, it is a very useful resource. Last week, I chose resurrection readings that were not the set readings from the lectionary. This week, I have chosen to follow the lectionary. When I do that, every so often, there is a reading that seems to start in a slightly odd place. It's a bit like being called for your tea and having to put a book down. Now, when I was a youngster, I was an avid reader, and I sometimes thought that my surname was Put the Book Down, because it was Norman. Norman. Norman, put the book down and come for your tea. Now, when you do that and you pick the book up again, if you've not been at the end of a chapter, you sometimes think, right, what did I just read? So you have to go back a page and then you get into the context and can read. The reading from John's Gospel for this Sunday begins at verse 23 of chapter 14. I should have probably read more carefully and maybe started a verse or two earlier. I could even have changed that first verse, I suppose. I could have started with Jesus said, and it would have worked. But the reading, beginning at verse 23, says Jesus replied. And that suggests a question. What's Jesus replying to? Well, verse 22 reads, Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? It's a good question, and is the unspoken question in much of that period between resurrection and Pentecost. After the initial shock and surprise, on a human level, there is a lack of action. And it must have seemed odd. Surely the energy and excitement of resurrection should have propelled the disciples into proclaiming Jesus as Lord. Jesus should have revealed himself, proved that he had risen. And instead, they're meeting with him, but there's this kind of nothing, an inertia. The question asked by that other Judas pre-Easter is based on a limited understanding of who and what Jesus is. That Judas was asking Jesus to proclaim himself. And Jesus has obviously been saying, I'm speaking to you as disciples. Their limits were of an earthly saviour, of an earthly kingdom, of all the limitations of geography and time. As the unspoken post-Easter question, there is still that limited vision. The disciples, even with the knowledge of the resurrection, are asking the same questions. It is that unspoken question that they have for Jesus. Why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? There is always the temptation to have Jesus fit our vision of how things are. And we too can find ourselves asking questions. But Lord, why do you, or why don't you? Because our vision is not big enough to encapsulate what God is doing. So we're going to read a psalm, Psalm 67, and then we're going to read that passage that is the answer to Judah's question, Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Kath is going to read for us.
So, as Norman has just said, our Old Testament reading is Psalm 67, verses 1 to 7, and is called God Will Bless Us. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, so that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. And our New Testament reading, John 14, verses 23 to 29, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now, before it happens, so when it does happen, you will believe." And may God add his blessing to his word. Amen.
Hymn 559, There Is a Redeemer.
Glory.
I was in two minds whether I should use the hymn we've just sung in the service this week, or whether I should save it for next week. And there was a wee thought that it might be used in the service in Cowras Abbey on the 8th. The reason for these different thoughts is that Thursday coming is Ascension Day in the Christian calendar, and that means the service next Sunday, 1st of June, will have some kind of theme that will involve Ascension. And then, of course, the 8th is Pentecost. There is a Redeemer, could be used as an Easter hymn, an Ascension hymn, or a Pentecost hymn. In fact, it could be used just about any Sunday of the year, because it describes God's plan of salvation. The chorus, "Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done." There is a wee story that I'm sure many of you will have heard. It's just a story. It's a story that's told of Jesus after he ascends and is glorified. And there in heaven, he's discussing what has happened with the angels. And the angels are astounded at what God has done. They say to Jesus, "We couldn't believe it when you were arrested, and we thought in all of that that somehow God's plan had fallen apart. And then we discovered that what looked like failure was victory. A victory over sin and death. That the love of God has conquered." And they're very excited, the angels. And they say to Jesus, "So what's next? What's your plan? What's the big plan?" And Jesus says to the angels, "Well, my disciples are going to take the good news, the gospel, to the world." And so the angels have a bit of a think, taking into consideration all that they have observed of the disciples. They've got another question. They don't want to question Jesus in his wisdom, but there must be something more. And so they say to Jesus, having looked at the situation, "We've really got to ask, what is plan B?" And Jesus' answer, "There is no plan B." Well, it's just a story. Maybe it does not reflect the response of angels, but it does describe the nonsense of God's plan of salvation if we look at that plan from any kind of reasonable logic, or should I say, human wisdom or earthly wisdom. As the time approaches when Jesus will leave his disciples in a physical sense, they are in many ways struggling with a limited understanding of what it is that Jesus wants of them. As human beings, we have a tendency to hold on to what we believe to be true and to fit what we see and hear to that understanding. Even with the knowledge of the resurrection, the disciples are hanging on to the idea that Jesus is Messiah by their understanding of Messiah. They are holding on to the vision of Jesus as an earthly leader in terms of Israel. They believe that God's kingdom is superior to any earthly kingdom, but only in terms of a kind of hierarchy. We are well aware that the disciples were shattered when Jesus was arrested, tried, and executed. Their hopes had gone. Their vision of who and what Jesus was is just destroyed. But now, having come to terms with that astounding fact that Jesus is alive, they're still thinking in human terms. They cannot envisage life without Jesus. In their heads, Jesus must in some way continue with them in a way that they understand. That passage from John's Gospel comes pre-crucifixion and resurrection. And I'm sure the disciples did not understand. But even post-resurrection, they still don't understand because they're thinking in earthly terms. And there is always the temptation and the pull towards that which is of this earth in terms of our comprehension. What Jesus promises in these words that we read are that those who are obedient to his word will have Jesus and the Father live with them. Post-resurrection, as much as pre-crucifixion, this is an impossibility for the disciples. How could they be obedient enough to warrant the presence of God in such a way? Jesus' explanation is that it will be by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will enable the disciples to remember his words, which it means to live by his word. In some versions of the Bible, the Holy Spirit is described as counselor. In fact, in the previous version of the New International, the word counselor is used. In the latest edition of the New International, the word is advocate. The Greek word means helper and intercessor. So it actually means both counselor and advocate. The Holy Spirit in these terms is the one who speaks to us and for us in our relationship with God. Quite a number of years ago, there was a very popular book on the Holy Spirit, and it was entitled The Go-Between God. The Holy Spirit is the one who is God to us and us to God. The peace we have is not a worldly peace, as Jesus puts it. To be at peace with God by our own efforts would give no peace. We are at peace with God through Jesus and are given confidence through the Holy Spirit. A few verses prior to the reading, in verse 15, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit both Counselor and Spirit of Truth. It's in that little quotation I put with the title of this talk. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Last week, I divided the talk into two bits. The second bit, we have that very well-known story about Peter's restoration. And just as he had denied his Lord three times, so he declares his love three times. But more tellingly, Jesus gives Peter the opportunity to overstate his love as he once would have. Peter's answers indicate that he is ready to face up to his limits. In coming to faith in Jesus, in being Christian, it means facing up to the truth that we are God-dependent. We are incapable of earning salvation. The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, has us be honest about ourselves. Anyone who says that the Christian is someone who thinks that they're better than others has got the gospel wrong. We are those who know our need of God. In the light of God's presence, we face up to our imperfection. Through Jesus, we are forgiven, but only where we first confess and repent. To be God's people, to seek to live for God through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, means being honest about ourselves. Being truthful about ourselves leads to being true to ourselves. Or better, true to who and what we are in the will of God, our Creator. Jesus placed his trust in his disciples and gave them that place, that role of being his ambassadors. As Jesus' disciples in this time, in this place, we are no different from those first disciples. Jesus does not change. The Holy Spirit is still our strength and hope. God the Father both loves and trusts us. And maybe that is the big miracle of the New Testament. The miracle is not our faith in God, but it's God's faith in us. In a world of so many lies, we have the truth that is God. Jesus, who said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Amen. As I arrived at worship in Limekilns, the organist said to me, "Can I just check with you? Are you singing all six verses of hymn 594? And I said, "Well, that went through my mind." And I thought, it's quite a long hymn. I'll maybe just cut a couple of verses out. And as I read the words of each verse, I couldn't choose. And I thought, well, "Come, Holy Spirit, come. Inflame our souls with love. All-knowing Spirit, prove the poverty of pride. Come with the gift to heal the wounds of guilt and fear. Spirit of truth, arise, inspire the prophet's voice. Give us tongues to speak the word of love and grace, to rich and poor, to strong and weak, in every time and place. Come, Holy Spirit, dance within our hearts today." And those are just a few of the lines from each of the verses. So, we're going to sing six verses. Take a deep breath. And if I can use a good phrase, gie lally. Let's sing, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." Hymn 594.
Thank you.
George, if you've any voice left, will let you lead us in prayer, our prayers for others.
Our prayers for others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we meet here today to pray for all the areas in the world that there is conflict. We pray for all in the Palestine, Gaza Strip and West Bank as the Israel government continue their genocidal action against the Palestine population by their increased bombardment of specifically targeted areas in Gaza and the prevention of humanitarian aid being admitted to Gaza, resulting in the deaths of so many of the population, sadly including so many children. Please use the amazing power of the Holy Spirit to influence the leaders of Israel and Palestine to agree a ceasefire, and so that the supply of food, medicine and water will reach the starving population. We pray for the peoples of both Ukraine and Russia, as again the leaders of nations throughout the world allow Vladimir Putin to continue to invade the sovereign territory of the Ukraine and causing the needless death daily of soldiers on both sides and civilians. We pray once again that by the amazing power of the Holy Spirit, this war may come to an end by a ceasefire and an agreement by both nations. We pray for all areas of conflict in the world. Help those leaders and decision makers, as we have just sung in the last hymn, and give them the tongues to speak the word of love and grace, and agree to lay down their arms and to use the love of God to reshape our world and bring peace. We pray that the leaders and decision makers in our country, nationally and regionally and locally, that they will find a solution to help all who are suffering because of the long operation waiting lists in the national health system. That they will help all who are suffering because of the current financial crisis, and by their decisions bring relief from the daily struggle to find sufficient money to pay for rent and food. We pray for your help in making the correct decisions regarding the changes we face in the Church of Scotland and locally in our churches in the West Fife Cluster, to allow our congregations once again to grow through our mission activities. Loving God, now in a few moments of silence, we would pray from our hearts for our family and friends who need your help and comfort and love at this time. Heavenly Father, thank you for listening to our prayers. Amen.
M561. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Just so.
God be gracious to you and bless you, and make his face to shine upon you. Go now with the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.